folks, and welcome to another episode of the Positude Podcast. I can't believe how quickly another week has flown by. Time is definitely speeding up, folks. And I've been busy prepping for Thanksgiving, so between having my hands full of pumpkin guts and making cookies and cleaning house and doing all the things that we do to get ready for the holiday, it's been a busy week. And I'm sure all of you can relate too, because we've got to squeeze all of that extra stuff in amongst our normal everyday activities or at the end of the day when the rest of our chores are done. But hopefully, since you're tuning in tonight, you have that extra hour to sit with me. I'm on my big comfy couch with my big cup of coffee. Slide into your sweats or your PJ bottoms, grab your drink, get a snack, take a seat, get comfortable, and let's spend some time together. And for all of my cannolis that are out there baking the Italian goodies and prepping for the holidays while you're listening to the show, turn that volume up, dance around the kitchen with me in your apron, and have some fun too. Or maybe you decided to order in tonight and take it easy. Although in today's economy, if you do that, it's probably easily a $50 bill anymore, right?
Who is it? Keep the change, you filthy animal.
I hardly ever get takeout, maybe 2-3 times a year, if that. Because, to be honest, I cook better than what most of what will deliver to me can offer. And also, I know the ingredients that I'm putting into the food that I prepare myself. But we all need to spoil ourselves once in a while. And if your finances and your belly permits, by all means, order in and have at it. You might want to check to see where that meat is sourced, though, just a word of caution, folks. And also be mindful of what potentially could have been added to the other ingredients. So Thanksgiving's almost here and we're already into Christmas season. They're rushing the holidays as always, waiting to get to that big commercial holiday of the year. But the movies have started. We don't even have snow on the ground yet, but pretty much every commercial's got jingle bells or sleighs announcing the newest holiday rom-coms for your viewing pleasure. The streaming platforms are in a hot competitive race to see how many viewers they can steal. To watch their original movie, undoubtedly set somewhere in a snowy New England town where a veterinarian who has been widowed falls in love with a disgruntled, jaded woman whose last boyfriend cheated on her. We're in the final scenes. They end up tying the knot and opening up an animal rescue clinic, and everybody lives happily ever after. Come on, be honest. How many of you out there have that Christmas movie mug that you only get out this time of year to fill with hot cocoa and watch your favorite movies under your fluffy blankie with your fuzzy slippers that you guilt your significant other into watching with you while secretly he's on the phone checking the football scores?
I told my husband he could no longer watch Hallmark movies with me this year because he's always asking stupid questions like, haven't we seen this one already?
That can be fun, but I maintain that Die Hard is most certainly a Christmas movie. So we have some interesting clips for you tonight. A Harvard professor comes out last week like, hey everybody, I deeply apologize for my super minor connections with Jeffrey Epstein. And bro says it like he accidentally borrowed Epstein's stapler or something, not whatever that mess actually was. And then he turns right around and is like, anyway, open your textbooks to chapter 4. Harvard students are sitting there like, sir, I don't think you should be giving moral philosophy lectures. I think you should be taking them. And Harvard's like, listen, we've reviewed the situation carefully, and we have come to the conclusion that we are too rich to care. And then there's this dude with a rare disorder who sees everyone's faces as demonic, imagining ordering Starbucks like, hi, what can I get you? And the barista looks like the hellspawn from Doom. And he's just like, venti iced latte? And also, be gone, foul creature! Bro must be wild at family gatherings. Grandma, love you, but your face is doing the Babadook thing again. Honestly, though, given the state of humanity lately, maybe he's not seeing demons, he's just seeing people accurately, or maybe he is being shown what's inside of people. Listen to the clippy later and see what you think. I wouldn't necessarily write the guy off as crazy just yet, especially given all of my cannolis experience with what they've been learning from listening to me for the past many years about spiritual warfare, because my listeners are what?
Chevy.
You know it. And we're gonna have some clippies about Mondami the Moochie. We're going to talk about houseplants, too, and maybe they're spying on you. We are connected to everything on the planet, and some of you who are my listeners know that already, but you walk in the room after a bad date and the plant is like, wow, you really picked that one again? Your pothos vines, they know your deepest secrets. They know your routines, your vibe, your emotional collapse schedule. You think they're dying because you forgot to water them? No, they're dying because they've lost respect for you. And I ran out of time last week, so I wanted to cover this week how the U.S. Mint has made their last penny last week. They basically said, we're done, we're over it, good luck paying exact change ever again. Pennies were already living on borrowed time. Like if you dropped one on the ground, the universe gave you 0.2 seconds to decide if your dignity was worth bending down. Now people are going to be trading gum wrappers and vibes at the store instead of pennies. Cashier says your total is $10.01. Here's a nickel, keep the change, king. But actually, they're going to increase everything by that extra 4 cents. You know that, right? I got a clippy of a first date with a super entitled woman. Wait till you hear this one, folks. You're not going to believe it. And some dating advice from a really funny guy. Also, a clippy from the same guy who empowers those of us who wear hoodies and sweats in the fall. I'm going to talk about light bulbs. I've got some clippies on that. Glowing little demons that are literally frying our eyeballs while pretending to save energy. They pushed LEDs onto the scene like we're so efficient, we're so modern, we're here to save the planet. Meanwhile, your pineal gland is in the corner like, girl, I can't even calcify fast enough for this. LEDs are basically the light equivalent of being interrogated by the FBI. You flip the switch and your whole nervous system goes, alert, alert, daylight detected at 11 p.m. It is kind of like inviting a fluorescent demon into your home. They hit you with enough blue light to disrupt the melatonin of an entire village. It's giving insomnia chic. It's giving, why do I feel like I just drank 6 espressos after staring at my living room lamp? Incandescent bulbs? They shine like they're telling bedtime stories. I get it. Soft, warm, cozy. Like the glow of an old Nona whispering, it's okay, sweetheart, rest. LEDs shine like New York City cops suspecting you have unpaid parking tickets. They're like, you want a headache for free? How about some eye strain on the house? Also, here's a dash of mood destabilization just for fun. Incandescents never did that. They were the golden retrievers of the lighting world, right? Loyal, warm, and asking for nothing but a little electricity and affection. But did you ever look at somebody on an LED light and think, that's not your real face? It'll turn a supermodel into a background character at the DMV. Your house plants are even depressed. They're like, I was meant for sunlight, not the dying glow of a corporate break room. And fun fact, plants literally grow worse under LEDs unless you get the expensive grow light variety. Because even the plants know this light is emotionally unavailable. And LEDs have that high frequency flicker. Have you heard about that? You don't consciously notice it, but your nervous system does. It's like your brain is listening to a mosquito scream at 10,000 FPS. They're like the heartbeat of a malfunctioning printer. Now, incandescent bulbs, and oh, by the way, my clip says incandescent bulbs were banned in the U.S., but they did take that back. They're letting you buy them again. They called them inefficient, but they heated the room and lit it. It was kind of a two-for-one special, and now we've got LEDs that brag about saving 8 cents a year but cost us our sleep cycles, our mood stability, and half of our serotonin. I mean, I'd rather pay the extra 8 cents and not feel like I'm living in a simulation running on Windows 95, but I still like the old-school bulbs. In the old days, you could walk into a room lit with those bulbs and feel like the universe still had hope. Now everything that has that LED glow, and suddenly you're questioning reality, your identity, and whether the microwave is watching you. Smart bulbs? Hello, have you learned about those yet? LEDs might save electricity, but some people think incandescents, the really old school bulbs, save your sanity. I've got so much to share with you this evening, including some clippies I haven't yet told you about, but I wanted to touch on the Epstein files briefly. I don't have a clippy on that, but apparently we're gearing up again for Epstein Files Reloaded. It's like the government is doing seasonal content drops now, seriously. Coming this winter, new names, new scandals, and the same old billionaires pretending they've never met anybody in their lives. Every time these files get unsealed, part of the country's like, finally the truth. Part of the country's like, yeah, right, we'll believe it when we see it. And And the other part is jonesing to see Trump's name anywhere on those documents. In fact, they're probably already painting up their new signs now for the next protest. Impeach him! Because you know for sure if he is in those files anywhere, his crimes are going to be much worse and much more heinous than anything Clinton or any of their liberal rock stars or movie stars could have committed. Hopefully, somewhere, a couple of very important people are sweating so hard they're turning their Fitbits into geysers, because every new batch of documents is like a cosmic roulette wheel. Whose career is about to spontaneously combust today? Meanwhile, that Harvard professor is probably just triple-checking his apology notes, practicing in the mirror like, okay, listen, I only slightly knew him. We just shared, like, a sandwich once, by accident. The funniest part is everybody acts shocked every single time. Like, we're not living in a reality where power and weirdness go together, like LED lights go with migraines. And when the files finally hit the public, the internet's gonna crash for an hour. Twitter, or whatever it's called this week, is gonna combust. You're gonna see like 6 million breaking news posts from accounts with usernames like TruthWizard777. And the elites are gonna be like, we're looking into these allegations seriously, which in political language means we're hoping you forget in 6 days. But we won't, because the Epstein saga is the modern Greek tragedy. Except instead of gods and heroes, it's billionaires and PR teams with caffeine dependencies. But chances are it's gonna be another cosmic nothing burger, not even a single pickle, just an empty bun and disappointment wrapped in a PDF. They'll be like, we're releasing the names of key individuals involved in the Epstein network, and then it's just a list of assistants, Uber drivers, some guy named Carl who once brought paper towels to the wrong island. Meanwhile, the dirtbags we wanna see exposed, they're chilling someplace, sipping aged whiskey like, yes. Transparency. At this point, the unsealed Epstein files kind of have the same vibe as your friend in high school who kept saying they were going to drop you their mixtape. I'll believe it when I see it. Just like with everything else nowadays, the mainstream media builds it up like it's some world-shattering reveal and then poof, gone. Forgotten in 48 hours, replaced by breaking news about a raccoon somewhere stealing a donut. So they can announce it all they want, but until there's actual substance, I'm not getting excited. I've been lied to by this franchise too many times. At this point, we're kind of convinced, aren't we, that the real secret is that the people who do know everything are locked in a basement somewhere rewriting the script so nobody gets dragged? It's like the universe is teasing us, like the package that you ordered that's been saying out for delivery forever. It's actually delayed in transit, delayed customs in transit, and then out for delivery for 3 months straight, and you're like, okay, so it's never coming. So yeah, basically, the Epstein files are the Temu of the government. I need to refresh my coffee, and then we'll get right into the clippies.
You are listening to the Positude Podcast with Maggie Hart. Stay tuned.
Hey, does anybody want coffee? Who wants coffee? I just made a fresh pot of coffee. Does anybody want coffee?
Okay, let's get started with a clip by SS Pollock and Fox News. The son of Hamas's founder has a warning for the West. And then a clippy from the Midnight 123.
So actually, they are opposing forces. And the reality is that we have been invaded. Today, we don't need Trojan horses to invade or to infiltrate our borders. We have been invaded through the internet. The communist countries, North Korea, China, Russia, they have been working around the clock to flood our internet, our social media, with their propaganda. So they paved the way. They created the climate for somebody like Mamdani to come and represent their ideologies. On the other hand, also we have Qatar, we have Arab oil countries, we have Pakistan, we have other Muslim countries that basically posing as white people, as Americans, and they have been spreading Islamic indoctrination through the Muslim Brotherhood, through other platforms. Now, the average American really does not understand the green and red danger. This is the job of the CIA, of the FBI intelligence services. They understand this danger. Now, the new generation of Americans, they really don't know the history, the long war between capitalism, or let's say the United States, the West, against communism and the real danger of such a model. Now, these two models, the Islamic and communist models, they're anti-American at their core. And they want to push America in the back seat. And they want to change the world order. This is what they are aiming to do. Now, the new generation of Americans don't see this bigger picture. They think that every other country is just like the American model, that people demonstrate their freedoms. They don't see that these two models are failing models. And at best, what they can offer is a tyranny, a dictatorship, a totalitarian system. They can never succeed in representing a transparent democracy.
Silence! All right, we got some breaking news coming out of New York City that Republicans have publicly invited Benjamin Netanyahu to New York on January 1st at Zoram Mamdani's inauguration for mayor. Now, I gotta tell you, you heard the words, and most likely you're gonna find out, but this story is just breaking as Zoram Mamdani has, in his rhetoric, talking about international courts, ICC. I would immediately arrest Benjamin Netanyahu on sight if he comes to New York, and the Jewish community and the Republicans of New York City is going to put those very threats to the test, and has invited Benjamin Netanyahu out of Israel over here to New York to come to the inauguration. I gotta tell you, I hope it happens. Selfishly speaking, this would be huge for my content, but let's just see if he accepts the invitation. It looks like so far that he's thinking about doing it. I have to tell you, backed by Donald Trump, Zoram Mamdani, you ain't doing a thing where the president of Israel shows up his face over here in my hometown, in my city, in my country, over here in New York.
Next up, a clippy from Libs of TikTok official and a little clippy from Cab Calloway with a cameo, followed by another by SS Pollock and a clippy from George Thorogood. It's a twofer, two clippies of music and two clippies of news. Such a deal.
Hey folks, here's the story about Mamdani the Mocha.
It's been 2 weeks since we won the election. We've been pretty busy.
Jack's the Democratic Socialist Zoram Mamdani.
Too often, this is a time of just celebration as opposed to preparation. We want to make it both.
A lot of these things are new, but one of them is pretty old.
Fundraising.
But why are we fundraising? Well, we have less than 50 days until we take office. We have a lot to do. We have to vet the 50,000 resumes we've received. Thank you. We have to keep paying our incredible team. Thank you. And we have to plan not just our inauguration, but our policy implementation. Now, unlike the campaign, transitions do not get public matching funds from the city. So that 8-to-1 match, gone. It's up to us to raise the money. Usually campaigns take that as an opportunity to rely on wealthy donors, but that's not us. You've already been incredible. We've raised more than $1 million in just 2 weeks. Our average donation is around $77, and more than 12,000 of you have donated so far, which is much lower than the last administration's transition. But we're still asking for your help, because we need to raise $4 million in total, so January 1st can be the day we start to deliver, not start to prepare. I hope very soon not to have to ask you for money. But until then, I'm asking for you to go to transition2025.com and give whatever you can to help build a New York that everyone can afford. This is your city, and I can't wait to get to work.
Will you tell me something? Why is it you liberals, no matter what subject you're talking about, you always get around to that?
One of the things I find really amusing about Mamdani, in kind of a cynical way, is when he does this, the coalition of the dispossessed, we're all going to come together, those of us with the bruised knuckles. And it's like, dude, you haven't held a real job your entire life. Your entire life. I have a more successful rap career than Zoram Mamdani. And I'm not even joking, that's true. Mm-hmm. Right? Like, Zoram Mamdani is a failed rapper. He was a person who didn't hold a real job. He got elected to the assembly and ditched half of his votes. And now he's mayor of New York, having grown up in the lap of luxury in a country to which his parents immigrated. Like, he's been given the best of America. And his solution is America sucks and is terrible. And so now I'm going to quote Eugene Debs and Nehru. in my inauguration speech, in my victory speech, which is what he did. Which, you know, again, that's a take, but it just underscores one of the sort of fascinating things about revolutionary movements. They're very rarely led by members of the proletariat. They're very often led by, I would say, unsatisfied members of the bourgeoisie, who then decide they must be the vanguard of the proletariat.
They said my friends were just an unruly mob, and I should get a haircut and get a real job.
This next clip from Umar MB2 is a little different perspective, but let's check it out and use your discernment, see what you think.
Google, Palantir, Microsoft, Apple, Meta, X, Oracle, Amazon, what do all these companies have in common? Well, they're making a bag off the Palestinian genocide. These four companies, Google, Oracle, Amazon, and Microsoft, run data centers for the Israeli military, storing the massive amount of surveillance data they track Palestinians. It's the infrastructure for the genocide. They feed that data, stored in these data centers, providing the compute for Palantir's AI killing systems or algorithms that they've entered into a massive warfare deal with Israel for. It's allowed the systematic destruction of Palestinian civilization in Gaza. That's Palantir. They've netted hundreds of billions since entering this deal. They provide the means. Who provides the weapons? Well, of course, everyone knows this answer. It's the United States taxpayer. It's our war company, so add them in there too. On top of this, you have Google, X, and Meta all taking money from Israel, all taking money from Netanyahu's propaganda arm to push propaganda to Americans, denying the genocide, denying war crimes, denying mass starvation in Gaza. Most recently, DropSite News exposed Google and X, Google taking 45 mil, X taking 2 mil, from Netanyahu's office to deny mass starvation in Gaza. This started just days after Israel began cutting off all aid to the Gaza Strip for over 80 straight days. This is complicity at the top level. I didn't forget about Apple. Of course, they run their largest R&D center in Israel, complicit in apartheid and occupation. They also match employee donations to the IDF and groups linked to the IDF. They're funding war criminals. Let's take our attention away from Israel and look back home. Every single one of these companies are run by Zionists. Every single one of them. They've all donated to Trump. Because if they get in his good graces, Trump will let them do whatever they want. Trump loves letting billionaires do whatever they want. In fact, that's why only five companies control 90% of the U.S. media market. It's true. That doesn't include social media, but we'll get to that in a second. Five companies. None of the U.S. outlets are willing to call it a genocide or call out Israel's crimes. That's because their editorial boards are controlled by Zionists. This is not some conspiracy theory. It's factual. You cannot go to CNN, let alone any conservative site, but CNN, Reuters, Washington Post, New York Times, none of them are calling it genocide. They're all covering up. They're all playing the propaganda game for Israel. Now let's turn our attention to the social media, because that's not included in the 90%. We have the top three, the big three, Meta, X, and TikTok. And TikTok's an interesting case. But first of all, Meta blacklists pro-Palestinian activists. I'm blacklisted on Meta for my free speech criticizing Israel. They've also hired hundreds of ex-IDF soldiers from the intelligence unit, Unit 8200, to run their moderation team. That's why this is all happening. They put Zionists in charge of their free speech policy. That's similar to what TikTok has done. They got lobbied by the ADL. They were pressured by the U.S. government, surely, by this bipartisan bill to ban TikTok because of its hosting anti-Israel content like mine, many other people. To hire an ex-IDF soldier and put her, Erica Mandel, in charge of their hate speech policy, which she changed, and those changes went into effect on September 13th. Since then, every single one of my videos criticizing Israel, making connections, talking about how literally everything I'm talking about in this video, that's what has been getting pulled off the For You page or just getting banned out right now. The censorship is super ramped up, and they're trying to sell TikTok US to Larry Ellison, who is the CEO of Oracle, the one who runs the data centers. You know, Larry Ellison once offered Netanyahu a seat on the board of Oracle. Yeah, that's right. They're buds. They're like that. He's a Zionist MAGA billionaire, right? Whatever. And he's going to censor everyone once he owns it. So we got two things for TikTok. We covered Meta. X, Elon Musk. He banned his own chatbot, Grok, when it started telling people there was genocide in Gaza. He's disgusting, and, you know, obviously he took the money from Israel to run propaganda ads So that's just great. That covers about everything. Welcome to the United States of Israel, guys. Welcome to the United States of Israel. We haven't even touched on what our government has done under Biden. They arrested 3,200 student activists and professors who protested the genocide peacefully on college campuses, calling on their schools to divest their massive endowment funds worth billions from all these complicit companies I'm telling you about right now. But the schools wouldn't do it. They wouldn't do the right thing and stand with humanity. And, you know, there's a lot you can talk about under Biden. He conducted most of this genocide, oversaw the destruction of every single one of Gaza's hospitals, amongst other things, while lying about a ceasefire, even though he never pressured Israel for a ceasefire once. Now Trump, you know, he ramps it up even more, and they're talking about taking away U.S. citizens' passports if you criticize the state of Israel. They're deporting student activists like Mahmoud Khalil, who, you know, is pro-Palestinian. He stands in solidarity with them. That's why he's being deported, over his free speech, over his humanity. They're pulling funding from schools that allow anti-Israel or pro-Palestinian protests that are peaceful. They're pulling funding. Both parties were involved in passing that bill to ban TikTok, which has led us to where we are now with Larry Ellison. So, you know, we can blame both parties for that. Let's look at the parties a little more closely, though, and who funds them. AIPAC spent over $100 million. They're just one part of the massive pro-Israel lobby. They spent $100 million and elected into power a supermajority of Zionists into Congress. They supported a supermajority of Zionists in 2024 and got them elected. Almost every single one of them, except like two, I believe. That's why no one in government's going to say no to giving Israel as many weapons as they ask for. That's why they're going to do everything they want to suppress criticism of Israel, do all these things that I just described, enable these companies to make a bag off the Palestinian genocide. Why do only 20 of our 435 Congress members say it's genocide when half of American voters are saying it's genocide? And just look at the Democrat Party. What is it? 77% of their base says it's genocide. 92% of their base wants to stop sending weapons to Israel. And yet they can't even criticize Israel. The party won't stop weapons to Israel. They won't even vote on that policy on their platform. This is a pretty good picture of, like, the wide view of what's happening. You have all the billionaires aligned with Israel, whether they be Christian or Jewish Zionists. You have every single big tech company supporting Israel in some way, fueling the systems they're using to commit genocide, taking money for propaganda. You have all our media institutions doing the same thing and running cover for them. And you have all of our politicians as well. This isn't some conspiracy theory. This is real life. You have to admit that there might be a problem when you have 4.5% of Congress saying it's genocide while 50%+ of American voters are saying it's genocide. What's going on? We've lost our sovereignty. It's not a joke. It's not hyperbole. We go to war against Iran on Israel's behalf. We change our laws to prevent criticism of Israel. We're trying to ban boycotting Israel, to throw American citizens in jail. The DOJ has been given the power to denaturalize anyone they see fit, and explicitly those who are critical of the state of Israel. This is great. Trump also threatened to not do a deal with Canada because they're recognizing Palestine. We're sanctioning the international courts. We're threatening to pull out of the UN if they kick Israel out. Both of us on the left and right need to unite and rid Zionist influence out of America. This is insane. They don't care about what we think. They don't care about our interests or our human morals or the fact it's our tax dollars funding all of this. Every single one of these genocide profiteers must be held accountable. Our politicians, the companies, and the billionaires. You can support my work by clicking the link in my bio, which will let you subscribe to my Substack. Thank you.
Part of being a conscious adult is being able to listen to two sides, two different perspectives, without freaking or wigging out about it or saying, well, it's not my perspective. It's not conservative or Republican or Democrat. And so therefore, I'm going to shut that dial off. I'm not going to listen to it, or I'm going to immediately bash it before I have a chance to maybe pray and meditate on it and think about it a little bit. The part where he says left and right needs to come together is something that we've been talking about on my show for years. And there is some credibility to what he's saying, irregardless of what side of the spectrum he's on. Look, innocent people dying are innocent people dying. That's never okay. And that's why we do need to come together and get rid of the bad guys. If we stand united, they are defeated. But this show is for entertainment purposes only. And helping you to hone and sharpen not only your critical thinking skills, but how your body reacts and feels when you hear something like this. Are you instantly triggered, or do you hear some truth in his statements? Reflect on that. How does it resonate with you? Do you feel it in your gut? Do you hear in your head this is real? Next, I'm going to slide into the Penny story with a clip from the Beatles and a clippy from Broke Da Clout 808.
A penny for your thoughts.
Penny pinching has a whole new meaning, and that's because after 230 years, we are finally saying goodbye to the penny. The penny has been officially retired. It's truly a historic moment. I'm going to show you the pennies that we're talking about right here. These were the final pennies that were struck this afternoon in Philadelphia at the U.S. Mint here in the city of Brotherly Love. Five final pennies, truly the end of an era. Now, I'm going to tell you a little bit about how this process happened and also why the Trump administration decided to do this. First, the reasoning. Basically, the Trump administration says that the American taxpayers have been shortchanged. They said that it's actually costing triple the amount to make the penny than it did a decade ago. But of course, the use and demand of pennies has since plummeted. So they said they're hoping to, by stopping to mint them, save taxpayers over $50 million a year. But it hasn't been all without challenge, because retailers are now faced with trying to decide what exactly they're going to do. Here, the penny's passing by right now. Thank you, sir. They're trying to figure out what they're going to do when it comes to exact change. Are they going to round up to the nearest nickel? Are they going to round down to the nearest nickel? A lot of challenges and things to still iron out. But the administration wants to be clear. Pennies, still legal tender. Do not throw them out. You can still spend them. You can still roll them up and collect them.
If it's a penny for your thoughts, but you put your 2 cents in, somebody's making a penny.
Yeah. Yeah, they are. I like it.
It's conspiracy theory time. Starting out with a clip from Latona 1019, Future Now Show, and Magnificent Frescoes.
Are you the brightest bulb in the box? Let's find out.
So America actually banned incandescent light bulbs, and instead they've been replacing them with LED lights. And the true reason they've been doing this might shock you. Because before the 1900s, we used to only use incandescent lights. And incandescent lights can actually have a benefit on the frequency of your body. Not only that, they don't damage your eyes, unlike bright LED lights, which wreak havoc on your retina. And they've always been pushing this fear that incandescent light bulbs are more expensive than LEDs. But the real reason is we've used light therapy to heal for thousands of years. Not just through the sun, but red light therapy and even incandescent light bulbs. So for the past sort of 10 years, LED lights have overruled, but they have actually been linked to oxidative stress. Whereas incandescent light bulbs were found to heal people in the 1800s. And that is why they were making light bulbs 30 times as big, because they were using them to heal people through light frequency healing. But the medical system was against this, because we know everything is a profit. And then ever since, incandescent light bulbs have been banned.
Little Thomas Albert Edison said, I'll grow up to be a great inventor, and I'll make a lamp to help my mommy see. Wowee, what an excellent application of electricity.
Are LED lights killing you? A recent study on fruit flies revealed something mainstream media isn't talking about. Researchers exposed the flies to 12 hours of artificial LED light, followed by 12 hours of darkness. The result? Their lifespans were cut in half. The blue light damaged their photoreceptor cells, leading to retinal degeneration. That's alarming when you consider we're surrounded by artificial light, especially LEDs, which are now replacing older fluorescent lights in most buildings. Keep in mind, LEDs were invented by by a scientist funded by Monsanto, the same company involved in controversial genetic food modifications. Unfortunately, this fact just adds to the reality that nearly everything in the modern world is seemingly trying to kill us slowly.
Please explain this to me. How is it that after switching to LED lights and solar panels and wind farms and every energy-efficient thing under the sun, how is it that our electric bills keep going up? How does that work? Because every billboard that they put up to convince us that it was necessary to change to energy-efficient appliances and light bulbs and all this other shit, it all told us that we would save money by making that switch. And that if we all chipped in, energy would get cheaper. Every politician swore that costs would drop, right? And everybody bought into the lie because they propagandized people into thinking that the planet was dying. And so naturally, people started caring more about the environment and everybody did what they were told. And yet somehow, we're paying more for less. So let's stop pretending that this is about saving energy. It's about control. You got mega corporations cutting deals with politicians to secure government funding and tax breaks and what do they call it? Carbon credits. While the average family can barely afford groceries, let alone their power bill, traditional capitalism is simple. You create something of value, you compete in a free market, and you win or you lose based on merit. It rewards innovation and risk and efficiency, not political favor. That's not what we're seeing now. It's not capitalism. It's corruption disguised as progress.
In the next triple shot, I'd like your opinion on the first one from Scott Lubick. He is claiming that lead paint is safe and that the government doesn't want us to use it because it blocks 5G radiation and the ability for them to see us in our homes through the technology that they have now. What do you guys think about this one? And Mama versus Pharma. Now, that one speaks to the jab, and they found out that poliomavirus simian virus 40, or SV40, is a known oncogenic DNA virus which induces primary brain and bone cancers, malignant tumors, and they put that stuff in the jab. I know of at least two individuals that have taken the jab that have been diagnosed with these very conditions. How about you? Do you know anybody that's been diagnosed with these conditions? And the third one is the demonic face guy.
So the real reason why they got rid of lead-based paint in your house is not because they were worried about your children eating paint chips off of the windowsill. What a joke. In 1978, they outlawed it because they came out with technology that allows them to eavesdrop into your house from the street, from a satellite, wherever they like. Radar radiation to look right into your house through your walls, and they know that lead-based paint blocks all of this. So they came up with a story. And they said, I'll tell you what we're going to do. We're going to just tell them that we're worried about their children. They'll do whatever they're told. So they know lead-based paint blocks all radiation. Everything. Blocks EMF. Blocks 5G. It blocks their ability to look into your house from a satellite using radar radiation. Long story short is, if you want to restore your privacy, if you want to block 5G, if you want to block all EMF, coming off of those horrible meters on the side of your house. If you want to just go ghost, what you do is go buy yourself a 1 gallon or 5 gallon bucket of paint, then order online lead-based liquid, mix it all together in the paint, paint your walls, and guess what? Poof, you disappear.
The SV40 sequences, they should not be there. They don't need to be there to grow this in bacteria. I don't think it's an accident. They could have chosen another plasmid that did not have the SV40 sequences. If these sequences sit above an oncogene and they're promiscuous, that means they are likely to integrate in places more likely than other genetic inserts. Thank you so much. Then they can cause cancer. Insertional mutagenesis anyway causes cancer. And that's the risk. That's why gene therapies were not brought to market for so many years, because there was a risk of causing cancer from insertional mutagenesis. We never needed these vaccines. We had treatments that worked. One of our doctors here is going to tell you about that. Hydroxychloroquine and ivermectin, I can tell you as a toxicologist, they are not toxic. They're some of the safest drugs you can use. There's no reason, once the FDA found out about this contamination, Okay, and we looked to see endotoxin levels, but they've got them all redacted. Why would you redact them if you were trying to be transparent? Why would you hold the data for 75 years, all of the clinical data, for 75 years from these if you were trying to be transparent? Tell me.
Did you all see this about a week ago? They say there's a new disorder where people see faces shift, shapeshift into something that's demonic? What the heck? Let me say something before I go on. I personally always have a problem when mainstream science or the media decide to answer a question that nobody's asking. That question being, why are some people reported seeing faces in public that seem to shapeshift? Well, the powers to be just gave us an answer. And it's whatever that big word is that I'm just going to call PMO, because I know I'm going to mispronounce that, otherwise known as demonic face syndrome. So if you see something strange that looks weird, that seems impossible, which I have seen, they're saying it might not be real. It might be this demonic face syndrome. Look, maybe it's me, but when I hear a bunch of people from different walks of life tell me they've seen something strange happen, something similar to this, and it's been happening gradually, but now more often over the past couple of years, I don't start to think they have some syndrome. I think maybe there's something to it, but hey, I could be wrong.
So, cannolis, those of you that have listened to my show for years, we've talked. A lot of you have sent me private messages over the years about things that you've seen that you can't identify or can't explain away. I've talked to you about my spiritual warfare experiences and some of the things that I've dealt with. What do you think? I think that the reason that we're seeing more of this on the planet is because, well, one, people are awakening. Two, the veil is thinner at times. Three, they're messing with CERN, which is allowing more things to come through. Four, my personal opinion only, and this is for entertainment purposes only, folks, but some of the people, depending on the jab concoction that they may have taken, has not only altered their DNA and their brain waves, but possibly has allowed for other things to come in to their bodies. And then we just have the fact that the evil is rising on the planet with the amount of witchcraft and spells that are being done. There are things that are manifesting as we get closer to the biblical end times. Irregardless of what your beliefs, many, many people are reporting things like this. And they're able to see things clearly now, or more clearly, as they open up their channels and pray and have discernment. Stop eating the junk food, stop taking the injections and the pharma medications that they've been prescribed and go all natural. There's a lot to this, and maybe we'll do another episode specifically on that, but not tonight. Go back and see if you can find the Spookathon episode. It might be out there on YouTube or wherever. From when I was on L&M and I had my regular listenership of about 1 million people, and I did an interview of a girl whose home I went to do a clearing on somebody that was staying with her and our experiences. I've talked about my cases many times. I've done many international cases, and there were a lot of things that you could not explain in the normal perspective, but they were absolutely spiritual issues and they were real. People become oppressed, people become possessed. And it would be just like the government to cover that up, knowing that they put something nefarious in the jab that could not only alter people's DNAs, but possibly plant something that would grow inside of them or allow them to be open to full-blown possession. But that's all just speculation for fun, right?
My pappy used to say, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. But if it is broke, get a hold of Maggie Hart at Maggie_HEART at outlook.com to get it fixed.
This next clippy from Ariana Masters talks about digital ID is now in the U.S.
Crazy freaking news. Okay, so digital ID is officially, and for the first time ever, live in the United States, and it was quietly launched this afternoon through the Apple Wallet. Go check if you don't believe me. The option is now there. And I don't even have automatic updates set. I don't even know how it got in there. So they're beginning with 12 states in Puerto Rico with plans to rapidly expand to the rest of the nation. Apple calls it secure and private, but critics say that this is the first major step toward a centralized ID system, laying the groundwork for smart city surveillance, biometric checkpoints, car credit scores, and a future where your ability to drive, work, or even buy groceries could depend on digital compliance, from taxes to behavior. You know, silly little things like that.
In the next series of clippies from I Live for Donuts, Speech Bolt High, Tell the Truth Already, and Miss Mischief 09, we're starting to fight back. These are four separate clippies of people who are standing up and speaking out about our rights, peppered by a little Linkin Park for your listening enjoyment.
Take back what's yours, say something that you know they might attack you for.
Remember during COVID when y'all said that we had to stop the spread? Yeah, we decided we can do that too. Oklahoma is stopping the spread of woke ideology. New thing in Oklahoma just came up. If you're a teacher and you came from California or New York, those two states only, you don't have to pass an ideology test before you're allowed to teach in Oklahoma. Y'all done did it. Y'all done did it, and there's no one to blame but yourselves. The test comes through PragerU, which is an organization that I love and hold near and dear to my heart. There's also a poll in my bio from PragerU about teachers' unions. PragerU is doing a lot of things right now to crack down on this woke ideology in schools.
Cause I'm sick of being treated like I had before. Like a stupid standing for what I'm standing for. Like this war's really just a different brand of war. Like it doesn't cater to rich and abandoned poor.
I don't know who you are, but I don't appreciate these accusations. If you don't need help with your iCloud, then I'll have to end this call.
Arjun, we're just getting started. Let's play a little game. I ask a question, you answer honestly. If you do well, maybe I don't send your full name and address to every one of your previous victims. Sound fun?
You can't do that. That's illegal.
Illegal? Arjun, you're talking to me about legality? No, that's rich coming from someone who's spent the last 6 months scamming elderly folks out of their life savings. But sure, let's talk legalities. What do you think the cops in Kolkata would do if they knew what you were up to? Should I give them a call and find out?
No, please don't. I'll answer your questions.
Good choice, Arjun. First question. How many people have you scammed today? Answer truthfully, because I already have a rough number in my head.
I don't remember. Maybe four or five.
Wrong answer, Arjun. It's seven. I've got the call logs right here. You want to try again? Or should we move on to your next lie?
Like they understand you in the back of the jet when you can't put gas in your tank. These kids are laughing away to the bank and cashing a check, asking you to have the passion and have some respect.
Given any type of facilitation, that was...
Good, you're done too. Next, 30 seconds.
Yeah, 30 seconds up. Is disgusting.
Yeah, well, yeah. Come on up. Enjoy your terrorist rag. Come on, let's go. What, you're next?
Whoa.
Come on. What's your name? I'm the chairman. I can say what I want. If you don't like it, you can leave. Come on. You're next.
You get paid by us.
I'll clear the room, and then we can move on if I hear one more outburst. I don't have to have any of you sit here. One more. One more. I'll clear the room. We'll debate, and we'll...
Exactly. Here in Florida, we don't have any patience. At all. And especially not for you people. And don't forget, don't try your protests here. Because if we feel threatened, we're just going to run you over. Yeah, look around and find out.
In Islam, we believe dogs are dirty and we don't like them.
That's odd. We feel the same way about Islam.
Stay triggered.
President Trump, send ICE. Send into Dearborn. These people have overstayed their visas. They're H-1B chain migration invaders. And they have come to this country to destroy our way of life. We know exactly your laws in your book about lying to our faces, pretending to be Americans, wearing your suits. We don't want you here. Respectfully, get the fuck out of my country. I don't want you here. We don't want you here. I don't want you here. I don't want you here. You guys are not us, and get the fuck out. America first. America only. God bless America. Jesus is king. Jesus is king. Jesus is king.
If you like Maggie and the sound of her voice and want to keep her airing quality shows, I'd be much obliged if you donate to the network, because those folks are dirt poor. and rely on your contributions to keep the lights on.
Next up from Libs Meme Central, that Harvard professor talking about his ties with Epstein and then talks about class like it's no big deal.
You will have seen my statement of regret expressing my shame with respect to what I did in communication with Mr. Epstein, and that I've said that I'm going to step back from public activity for a time, but that I think it's very important to fulfill my teaching obligations. And so, with your permission, we're going to go forward and talk about the material in the class.
Next up from Shane Vibes Truth, your houseplants might know a little bit more about you than you may think.
Your houseplants may know a little bit more about you than you might think. Wait until you hear this. We've heard about how talking to plants can boost their yield and all that, and that is cool and interesting, and it's because plants have been shown to draw alternative sources of energy from other plants. They influence each other in many ways, and they communicate through nanomechanical oscillations, vibrations, or frequency. And they say this is as close as you can get to telepathic communication. But what if there was more than that? Well, according to some recent studies, they put EEG, which is an electrosensor thing, on the plant. And then they'd send the owner of the plant, or the person who planted the plant, out of the house. And when that person starts heading back home and is within 2 kilometers of the plant, the frequencies of the plant start to increase. It gets excited. Your plants literally know when their owner is coming home, and they get excited just like your dog or maybe cat. Cats don't usually, but dogs get so excited when you come home. Your plants do the same thing. They know you, and they can feel you coming through the vibrational interconnected consciousness. We know that plants communicate to each other. We know that by us speaking to plants, it can increase their yield. And apparently this is the next tip of that freaking iceberg, the next level lower, is that plants can sense you coming, and they love you, and they're happy to see you. So thank you, plant. Thank you, planty plant right here. Thank you very much. He's a happy boy.
Feed me, Crabble, and feed me now!
I can't.
I'm starving!
And from Is He Loyal, a woman steals all of her first date's food when he goes to the restroom. You're not gonna believe this one. And a little clippy from Tim McGraw.
Don't expect a free ride from no one. Don't hold a grudge or a chip, and here's why. Bitterness keeps you from flying. Always stay humble and kind.
You are greedy. You had 2 plates.
You haven't eaten all day.
I don't care if you haven't eaten all day. That's messed up. You're greedy. This must be our first date, and this is how you do?
This the real me.
Well, can I have the fake you? I went to the bathroom, and I came back, and all my food gone.
Oh, I thought she was done.
I've never been on a first date like this in my life.
Welcome to the real boo.
Yeah, I just had to go to the bathroom for a quick second. All my food is gone.
Well, boo, where I'm from, you don't leave food, see?
Apparently, you don't leave food at all. You smashed this, and you waste the food all over you.
Listen, you either gonna sit down and talk to me like a man, or you can dismiss yourself after you pay for the check.
I'm not paying for nothing. Why am I gonna pay and you ate all this food? Ain't no man gonna sit here and pay for this ridiculousness. I was wondering at first. I was like, how a beautiful girl like you be single? And now I know. Bingo, right here. I'm thankful that you showed me this on the first date, dude, too. Because other people would have.
You know how many first dates I've been on?
So you do this for real?
I really came for the food. That's it. Just the food.
I can tell.
Yeah, you tripped.
Can you believe that? Next, a double shot from Davey87DP. If you haven't heard of this guy, you should. Definitely give him a follow. But here's his perspective on how no woman is a gold digger. And then makes us feel good about ourselves if our bodies aren't in the utmost perfect shape because it's hoodie and legging season. Let's listen in.
There's no such thing as a gold digger. Women are naturally expensive. So pick one in your price range and shut up. Hair, nails, skincare, clothes, makeup, none of that is free. Even that girl that you think's low maintenance, the one that's natural, you must have never had a girlfriend before, because that natural girl, she's rocking a $200 effortless look, okay? That's just the base model. You want the leather seats and the sunroof, that's going to cost you, okay? So pick one in your price range and set up. You don't walk into a luxury car dealership and yell at the salesman because the car is more than you can afford. You get a Corolla and you mind your business, right? If she's out of your budget,
That's not her being a gold digger. That's you shopping in the wrong aisle. You can't complain that champagne costs too much when you only brought beer money. Okay, stop complaining and just date within your means. That's what I do. Okay, there's someone for everyone. Stop crying about women wanting too much and go find someone whose idea of a fancy night out is Buffalo Wild Wings. They're out there. I grew up with them. These are my people. But I'm from Jersey. I'm not from Monte Carlo, and that's okay.
You may have failed bikini season, but you're about to crush hoodie and legging season, all right? That's the beauty of fall. Summer is for people with discipline, and fall is for people with personality, right? Nobody's checking abs when everyone looks like a cozy burrito, right? You're no longer gonna get by with your six-pack. You gotta talk now. You gotta be interesting. This is our time. This is when we thrive, okay? In summer, it's about pool parties and nice arms. In fall, it's about oversized hoodies, iced pumpkin lattes, and leggings that trick people into thinking you go to Pilates. You didn't miss your chance. You were just in the wrong season, but your time is coming. Okay, baggy hoodie, cute leggings, messy bun. This is your wheelhouse. This is home field advantage, right? You're comfortable here. So stop stressing about the beach. The beach is temporary. Hoodie and leggings, that's 9 months of pure dominance. This is your time.
In the midst of my recording, I got a phone call from a girlfriend of mine who lives in North Carolina and very close to Concord to tell me about the shooting. During the annual Christmas tree lighting ceremony in Concord on Friday, 4 people were injured, including 2 suspects who were also shot. The incident, which broke out around 7:30 p.m., was not a random act of violence, but involved 2 suspects who knew each other. 3 of the 4 injured were in critical condition. 1 17-year-old victim has since been released from the hospital. The 2 identified suspects are 18-year-old Nasir Ahmad Bostic and a juvenile, both of whom sustained critical injuries and are expected to be charged once released from the hospital. And a 3rd suspect, 17-year-old Kevon Rayshon Bostic, was arrested and charged as an adult with accessory after the fact and inciting a riot. He was not injured during the incident. It's my understanding that despite the shooting, the city's 97th Christmas parade was still scheduled and held today, Saturday, as I tape the 22nd. The fact that our country is subjected to senseless violence like this every single day from these wackos, whether they be MK Ultra drug addicts, paid to do it, or whatever their story, is a testament to the fact that we need to do better. We need to work harder. We need to pray more. We need to come together, and we need to eradicate the evil in society. People celebrating a holiday tradition with little children should not be subject, no one should be subject to this type of cruel violence and insanity. In this case, from what I'm reading, the violence was internal. They were after each other, but that doesn't make it any better. Innocent people were still hurt. Children were in possession of firearms. Please pray for everybody involved and their families. While we're on the topic of empathy and compassion, I Live for Donuts shares a video regarding the donations when they shut off the SNAP benefits and makes some very valid points as to why aren't we doing things like this and donating for people who need it all of the time. And the second video from Bombillo X, since we were talking about spiritual warfare, has a very interesting clip on why you should never say you're welcome to anyone. That's something I definitely need to work on. And when you hear the clip, you'll understand why. And I have some more Tim McGraw thrown in there for good measure.
Hold the door, I said please, I said thank you. Don't steal, don't cheat, don't lie. I know you got to climb, always stay humble and kind.
Just a reminder, people were hungry before SNAP got cut. Like, you know that, right? Excuse you. Prime example. I'm seeing all of these posts about people donating to food banks and churches, really stepping up to the plate since SNAP got cut. People are doing dog food donation, and that's such a good thing, and I'm so happy, and I hope that we keep that spirit of giving. But you know people were hungry before SNAP got cut, right? Like, why did it take SNAP getting cut for y'all to have that spirit of giving? And I know you're gonna say, I donate all year long, and I love that for you, and that's amazing. But a lot of places and a lot of people didn't. Why did it take SNAP getting cut for us to show out and say, hey, now we're gonna help. Now we're gonna be a community. Now we're gonna act like Christians. When SNAP comes back, are we gonna stop doing that? I know there are places that give all year long, but not in the way that I'm seeing it now. I'm not seeing giving all year long like I've seen since SNAP got cut. This big, emergent, oh my God, we have to feed people. Y'all, people were hungry before SNAP got cut. When SNAP comes back, people will still be hungry. There are plenty of people on SNAP who still don't have enough. There are plenty of people who don't qualify for benefits. So I love what I'm seeing. I love the sense of community. But can we just keep that spirit of giving all year long?
Hear me out, fam. Chosen one. Never say these words ever again. You hear me? Never. Don't write them down, like on social media, and don't ever say it, all right? You know when somebody says thank you and you say you're welcome, don't say that. You ever heard, you know the movie Sinners? They talk about this in movies, that vampires are not allowed in your house unless you allow them in. That's true in real life. A lot of these demons, you have to give them authority. So some people may trick you. For example, you're walking by somebody, a demon, they see you coming, and they'll drop something on the floor. You pick it up, you hand it back to them, they go, thank you, and you go, you're welcome. You're inviting them into your spirit, you're giving them access to your energy, I'm sorry. You're giving them access to your energy. And that's all they need, those words. Whenever I'm live, or whenever somebody tells me, thank you, B. I just be like, my pleasure. Or no doubt. Or you know what we do, baby. But I never say those words. Because nobody, what's up, my brother? Que lo que? Nobody's allowed in my energy like that, fam. And believe it or not, you could call me cuckoo. You could be like, oh, now you're taking it too far. You mean to tell me I can't be polite? No, you can say my pleasure. You don't have to believe me. But for those that know that this is a spiritual war, and for those that know that these demons are real, take this advice. Whenever somebody tells you thank you, they're going to want to trick you into having you say it. When that happens, just be like, my pleasure. Or no doubt, my people, you already know. Or yes, 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 you already know, my people. But don't say those words. You hear me? Again, you don't have to believe me. You don't have to take my advice. But those that know, know. And those that are already awakening, they can tell that this makes perfect sense. They're going to be like, That does make sense. You hear me? All right, my peoples.
So, interesting food for thought, as well as we know that words are spells. One thing that I became aware of is I love my little garden flags and my seasonal flags that I hang outside my home. And most of those, if you look at them, have welcome on them. Signs on my front door. I've got cute, or did have, so many cute seasonal wreaths that I put on my front door that said welcome, friends welcome, your mats outside your door. Doorway that say welcome. All of those are invitations, and you don't know what you're inviting in. Now, your welcome is one that I really, really struggle with. I was born and raised with manners, and it's second nature to me. You're welcome. You're welcome. But it is something that I'm working on, and I hope that you do too, because he's got a very valid point. I went out and bought a new garden flag that's got a chicken on it, and it says welcome-ish. Depends on who you are and what you want. That's my show for tonight, folks. I hope you had as much fun as I did. Stay warm out there. Depending on what station you listen to, I hope you have a happy Thanksgiving, but you may be hearing this after you've had your turkey. Enjoy your holiday and your time with family and loved ones nonetheless. Please hit like, subscribe, and join my channels and do all the things and share it with your friends. Also, my Positude Podcast page on Facebook. And you can listen to Peter Kling's new show, Revelations, on Thursday nights, 9 Eastern Standard on the Trim Radio Network. And Gala's Red Pill Radio Show Saturday nights at, I think it's 10, 9 or 10 on Trim Radio Network. Look it up. You'll find it. Thanks all for listening. Stay safe out there. Please keep your head on a swivel when you're out at public events, and have a great week. We'll see you next time. Good night, everybody. The entry music, sometimes my halftime music, and the ending music are all provided by my good buddy Pat Carr, a wonderful original musician from Louisiana, now residing in Colorado. You can check him out at http://www.itunes.com/Pat Carr. Pat's at AllMusic, Apple Music, YouTube, SoundClick, Spotify, Google Play, iTunes. He is all over the place. Please check him out, support his music, and tell him Maggie sent you.